Ron Hughes is going to minister to us from the Word. We'll turn it over to you, my friend.
Well, good morning. Is this like a celebration or what? Yeah, it's so cool. So cool to see so many old friends. Old friends. Terrific. You know, the Bible talks about celebrations. I think probably the first celebration, that would be legitimate to call it a celebration, when Eve recognized that God was faithful to that first promise, and she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. I'm sure she was celebrating when she said that. And then we find Noah certainly celebrated when he got off the ark. That must have been a celebration. He built an altar to the Lord. I like the way Jethro, this is a father-in-law, how do you like that? Jethro celebrated when Moses told him about the Exodus. It just filled Jethro's heart with joy. And then when we move on through the Old Testament, after a 70-year dearth of hearing the Word of God, the Word was read publicly for hours on end. And the people responded, of course, initially with repentance and tears. They were smitten. They were convicted. And it got to the point where Ezra the priest had to make a little announcement. I want to read this to you. As the people are weeping before God, he says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quietened all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions, and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. Great little words about how to celebrate. Eating and drinking, I think that comes later. But that kind of legitimizes it all, doesn't it? That's terrific. And then, of course, moving to the New Testament in Luke 15, we find the three stories of the things that were found. The sheep and the coin and the son. And there were celebrations associated with the finding and the restoration of those things. And that's where we also read about joy in heaven. It's going to be a great shock for some of us to find there's joy in heaven. It's going to be all right, people. We can have a little foretaste of that today. And really, right from the beginning, it's all been about God's faithfulness, God's restoring what was lost. And we can enjoy God's faithfulness as he has restored us to the life that he has called us to. And he's been faithful to this assembly for all these years. Now, when I was thinking about this, it was suggested that I try to stay in line with the theme of God's faithfulness. So, being not as intelligent as I pretend to be, I looked up and I found that the Bible gives us three declarations. Paul gives us three declarations. God is faithful. That whenever a preacher finds three of the same thing, he gets an instant sermon. And so that was a great blessing to me. I had my sermon right there. God is faithful. Three ways in which God is faithful. So we're going to be looking at those things this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, remind ourselves again of your faithfulness, and lift up our hearts in thanksgiving for what you have done in our lives and in the life of this assembly in particular. And so we open our hearts to you as we open your word together, in Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, we read this. 1 Corinthians 1, 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. Now, we don't usually do call and response things, but I would be really happy for you to affirm that God is faithful. Could you do that for me? God is faithful. One more time. You believe that. That's good. That's a good thing. God's word says that. And what we see in this passage is the idea of God being faithful in bringing us into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That really says an enormous amount. And as I thought about how do I illustrate this sermon, it occurred to me, I am looking at a whole lot of illustrations. So I'm going to put some of you on the spot just a little bit. Some of you came to faith directly through the ministry of Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel, or indirectly. That is, someone who was in fellowship here witnessed to you personally and privately, and you find yourself here. So just out of curiosity, I just need one, but I'll take as many as I can get. How many of you who are here this morning did God bring into the fellowship of his Son, into the family of God, through the ministry of Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel? Up high enough that we can see. Wow, is that cool or what? And then you think about the generations. You know, some of these people have children. Some of them have quite a few children. But it's great, eh? So God has been faithful to us here at Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel in bringing people into the fellowship. Now, that's just the first step. There will be even more people who know what happens back here. Now, for those of you who don't know, there's a baptismal tank back here. And some of us were baptized there. How many of us were baptized right there? Wow, even more. That's terrific. And people came into fellowship in the assembly. People became engaged in God's work right here at Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel. And then, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up because I would really hope you'd all put your hands up. But then we've all grown here through the ministry, directly or indirectly. God has been faithful to the people who have come here, to this assembly. And that's important. And I just want to throw something because I may slip. Did you ever slip? Now that I'm past 60, I understand I'm allowed to slip a bit. But if I refer to Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel as if it were the people, I know the chapel is the building, okay? But sometimes we talk about the chapel as if it were the people, the assembly. Don't get your shirt in a knot. I understand there's a difference between the building and the church. Okay, so hang with me. It may just slip out. All right, so God has been faithful to this place. He's been faithful in this place. He's been faithful to the people in this place for all those 50 years. Now, flip over to 1 Corinthians 10, and we'll find the second statement about God's faithfulness. We're going to read several verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll pick up at verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. What's God? Very good. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, I don't know if you spend any time on the internet. If you do, you will have seen that there's a little bit of a debate raging over 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it mostly comes down to, what does temptation mean? Because there are different views about that. But in fact, the word temptation that we see in our translations, and some of you may have different words, some of you may have testings or trials, that seems to be the issue. But the fact is, sometimes our temptations come in the form of an impetus to sin. That's one kind of temptation. But the word here that's used in the Greek is also the idea of trial or testing. This is a way of proving something, just as metal is proven by heating it and bending it and doing things like that to it, beating on it. We too sometimes are proven through trials, difficulties. And what happens here is we have the assurance that God is faithful. And I would say my answer to the question is God faithful in providing a way of escape from temptation to sin, or is he faithful in providing a way of escape from our trials? I would say yes. That's my answer to that particular debate. I think he is faithful in both cases, whether it's a trial of having lost your job or lost your health or lost a relationship or lost a loved one. Regardless of how that trial comes in your life, God is faithful and he will be there for you and allow you to go through it. I think most of us here this morning are probably witnesses of that, either in our own lives or in the lives of other people. God is faithful. Now, that's not actually what I want to talk about. I want you to look at verse 14. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." God is faithful. If God is faithful, then we flee idolatry. Idolatry is anything which would take the place of God. We flee to God because God is faithful. Because God is faithful, we can go to him. We don't need to go to another god. And of course, when we talk about gods in our day, mostly we're talking about, you know, philosophical frameworks by which we live our lives. So it would have been possible over 50 years that as the elders, as the leadership here observed that things sometimes go wrong in the lives of Christians. Sometimes Christians sin. Do I have an amen? Yeah, sometimes Christians sin. And sometimes they lose loved ones. And sometimes they lose relationships. And sometimes they lose their health and their jobs and all of those things. It would have been possible for the elders to say, you know what, this Christianity, this gospel we've preached is obviously too hard. So let's shift it a little bit and say, hey, let's go with materialism. Materialism's good. All that exists is matter and energy. So, you know, when you have a trial, when you have a problem, go with that. Just do what seems to be best for you, what gives you the most advantage. Be selfish. After all, there's no God to answer to. You only answered for yourself, so that would be good. That's one possibility. Then there's always the old favorite hedonism. Just do what pleases you. I've learned a lesson here. You know, in our youth, we are pleasure seekers. But there comes a point, have you noticed this? You people with white hair, that, you know, pleasure just seems like too much effort. We're way past pleasure. What we want is comfort. Just don't bother me. They're two things on the same continuum, two extremes of the same continuum, but they go together, don't they? We just want to feel good. We just want to feel good. And you know, it would have been possible for us to turn to a God of hedonism and say, boy, things are tough. I'm just going to please myself. That would have been one way of doing it. God doesn't seem to have the answers. You know, things are going wrong. It feels like God isn't faithful. So let's go with science. Science provides some answers for us. Science can give us the answers that we need for our lives. So we just go with what we can get from that area. So it would have been possible for any of those things to happen. But God is faithful, and the leadership in this assembly did not take us in some other direction. And I can tell you, I can assure you that today, the gospel that is preached from this platform is the same gospel that was preached from this platform 50 years ago. It's the same gospel. And it goes a little bit like this. for those of you who need a reminder, you have a problem. Now, some of you knew that already. You have a problem. You fall short of God's standards. You miss the mark. You just don't cut it. Now, if some of you are saying to yourselves, oh boy, what's this whole God standard thing? He's going to say the S word in a minute. He's going to talk about sin. Yeah, he probably will. But, you know, you don't even hold to the society's standards. You've disappointed people, not just God. You've disappointed people. You know that. And I know that some of you know that my mother's form of punishing me was to say, Ronnie, I'm disappointed in you. Disappointed my mother. You're looking at a man who disappointed his mother. Do you know how bad I feel about that? Okay. Well, you've disappointed people too. You didn't only disappoint God, you disappointed people. And what's more, unless you're very unusual, you haven't even kept your own standards. How many of you have said, now I really must, dot, 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 and it might be, I really must, I can be anything. I hesitate to even try to give examples. I must try harder. I must work harder. I must call my mother more frequently so she won't be disappointed. I must lose weight. I must attend services. I must pray more. I must read my Bible more. I must. And you don't do it. So you see, basically, even if we left God's standard out, and we're not leaving God's standard out, the fact is that we fall short. We fall short in all of those ways. We don't cut it. So we have a problem. Everybody who does not have a problem, please indicate that by raising your hand. Okay, see, that's what I thought. You're all problem children. So God can't receive you because God is perfect. God is holy. God is just. And he can't accept you and your sin. So he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to kind of separate between you and your sin. And our sin gets put on Jesus. The Bible even says that he was made sin for us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin. So he bore our sin, but he actually, in a way I don't fully understand, he became sin so that when God judged him on the cross, God judged our sin, my sin, your sin, individually. And that way, God can receive you in spite of the fact that you have sinned. You are a sinner by nature. We all are. That's the problem we've got, right? That's the same gospel. But that's not the whole gospel, because we have to receive that offer of forgiveness. It doesn't come automatically. We have to consciously receive it. We accept it. We say, okay, God, I believe that I have a problem. I believe that Jesus took care of that problem when he died on the cross. And now I receive your forgiveness. And because God is faithful to bring us into the fellowship of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which we just read a moment ago, we become part of the family of God. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that's been preached here since 1965. And it's still being preached here in 2015. God is faithful so we can let those other philosophical frameworks go. You know, don't need those because our God is faithful. Let's go to another one. The last one. Finally, brethren. Yes, I heard those smiles of contentment and those chuckles of, yes, finally, brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. This is a little bit around the corner, but it's clear. Paul is writing to his friends in Corinth, and he says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. So be it, to the glory of God through us. So what Paul is doing here is he is setting a standard, and he's using God's faithfulness as the standard to verbal integrity. And in this particular case, he's saying, our word to you is as faithful as God's word. God's word is the standard. God is always faithful to his word. He keeps his word. God's word is sure. So you can depend on what we're telling you. That's his message to the Corinthians. And he goes on and finishes his letter. Now, up until this point, I could have been preaching a funeral service for Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel. Because I've talked about what's happened in the past, how God was faithful. God was faithful in the past. He brought some of you to faith in this place. Many of us were baptized in this place. We grew spiritually in this place. We came into fellowship in this place. We began to minister and serve in this place. All in the past. Wonderful thing. And we could be wrapping it up today and saying, yay, God was faithful for 50 years. But this isn't a funeral. This is a festival. Because we're not just looking back. We're looking ahead. There's more to come. See, God is not finished with his church yet. And he's not finished with Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel yet either. The fact is, Christ is building his church. Is building. Present progressive tense, for those of you who are interested in grammar, it's something that's going on now. God is building his church. God is working in his church. He is working in us as individuals. He's teaching us things. He's conforming us to the likeness of his Son. And he's working through his church. These are things that the Bible goes over and over. And we see examples of these things. And we don't have time to look into all of this. But God is building his church. He's working in and through his church. And he is preparing his church. He is preparing his church to be the bride of Christ. A bride that is pure and spotless and holy, without blemish, without anything that would distract. That's what God is doing, is continuing to do, and will continue to do until the wedding day. And that will be an even bigger celebration than this. Yes, it will. It'll be a fine day. But in the meantime, God is faithful to everything he said he would do. We look back to see the track record and we go, wow, God has been faithful, and it's true. And because we look back and we have that experience, we have the written word of God which lays it out for us and gives us God's intentions, we can say, we don't just have a past. We don't just have a present, we also have a future. God has a future for Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel and all the people who have ever been part of it. Because some of us have been spread around and we've gone to other places, but God still has something for us wherever we might be. And this place and the ministry from this place has played a part in us getting to where we are. And that's a good thing to celebrate. We're allowed to celebrate. Dead silence. It's amazing. You people celebrate in ways unlike Blue Jays fans celebrate. It's really quite interesting. Yes. We're going to celebrate this afternoon. And I suspect, I just think, I'm just guessing here, that it's going to be just a titch noisier this afternoon than it is in here right now. But that's all right. God knows where we came from. And he loves us anyway. Oh, wow. Is your heart full this morning to know that he has been faithful here to the individuals, to the group? Are you thankful for this place and what God has done here? We're going to sing. We're going to stand up and sing. We're going to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." You probably saw that coming, didn't you? Everett's going to lead us, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to close in prayer. We'll remain standing for prayer. I know that usually at this point, the preacher says, every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to lift your faces up. And you keep your eyes open if you can. I know some of you just can't not keep your close your eyes. That's all right. We expect something from God. This is our faithful God. We look to him, and we want to say some words to him this morning. Oh, Lord, your mercy is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains, and your judgments are a great deep. Oh, Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Thank you, Father, for what you have done in this place and through the lives of all of the individuals who have passed through its doors at any time, once or many times. We give you thanks for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.